Yo, welcome to episode 126. That is 126 on your dial, or no dial. It's just in your phone or your computer. I don't know how you listen to this, but I just like that you listen. This episode is with Stan Walker on the Facebooks. He is a cosplayer, whether he wants to admit it or not, and I mean that in the best way possible. Stan and Missy grew up together near each other, and this was Bender's idea to get someone who does cosplay on, so she knew this connection. She reached out. They hadn't talked in forever, and I got to tell you, the kind of friendship reconnected, and I've got a new friend, so he's a cool guy. He's a part of the Gateway Super Friends, so check them out on Facebook. They do a lot of really good stuff, visiting kids in hospitals, going to conventions, doing charitable things and stuff like that. Completely non-for-profit, no money whatsoever, just people that love dressing up and spreading some cheer as comic book characters, so and more. So check that out. And I guess that's kind of keeping with the theme of this week, since we released the first episode of our new podcast that year in comics. 1986 was the first year we did. Check that out. We've gotten some really good feedback on it so far. And speaking of comic books, remember in September, late September, I believe September 28th, don't hold me to that because it's not in front of me, CaveCon in Springfield, Missouri, put on by the world's greatest comic book store, the Comics Cave, so owned by one Joshua Roberts. So check that out. Also check out, if you're in the mood for travel places, travel to 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive and head on over to the Beer Sauce Shop. I believe as you listen to this, it's the day of Wing Sauce, or Wing Bowl, which you're going to miss out, but that's a pretty cool event. Wing Madness, I guess you could say. Another flavor uprising where they had a bunch of different people coming in for a barbecue wing competition. But too bad you missed out. But don't miss out in the future. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them. Go to their website. Or just go to the store and buy from over 500 craft beers, individual bottles and cans, of course. Over 25 individually, well, of course they're individually, but private owned or craft owned whiskeys, plus wines, plus flavors, plus sauces, plus rubs. What more do you need? That's the Beer Sauce Shop. Go there. And if you ever see us there, if you ever see us anywhere, answer a question that I tweet out and you'll get a free beer. First 3 to 5 people. Haven't figured it out yet how many I'm going to do. So far, I think only 2 guys ever have taken me up on it, but those 2 guys got free beer, damn it, on us. And you know what? If they wanted to keep that beer colder longer, they could have went to www.mybomberjackets.com and used a 15% off coupon or promo code, RAPCAST15. Still in the process of getting that fixed. Just got to find a time to work it in. But, you know, you can get anything you want for your craft beer. That's bomber size, can size, bottle size. They're cool, stylish, great ways to keep your beer colder longer. Alex is an awesome dude. We support him. He supports us. Just go buy it. Go visit. Go to Springfield. Do all the things I'm telling you. But most importantly, before you do all that, download and listen. Here comes the episode. Again, this is The Many Faces of Stan, episode 126. Here comes an explosion in about 3, 2, 1. This time, it is just me and the flop.
Hey.
My wife, Melissa, sat next to me. We do have a guest in studio, which I'm going to get to in just a second. I want to tell people why you're here, because I want to talk a little crap with one of our co-hosts real quick. This actually started
a long time ago. Yeah. I procrastinated on this.
Well, it also started as the brainchild of Bender, one of our co-hosts. He said, you know, because I kind of brought Bender. He grew up a comic book kid. And then straight away from it, I used to own a comic book store, kind of brought him back into it when he was my neighbor. And he said, you know, I've always been interested about people that do cosplay. And he said, we should get one on. And Missy goes, well, I know someone who does some of that. And so Bender's like, yeah, let's do it. So the reason I bring that story up is because the seat right here that's normally occupied by Bender is completely empty. So Bender's brainchild, not even here for it.
Oh, well.
So
his loss.
So with that said, to my right, across from me, would be Stan.
Hi.
And Stan here, we were just talking. We're going to have to rehash some stuff because we wasted a lot of good conversation pieces there before we get started. But before we do jump in, I want to let you in on a little secret, too, about this one over here to the left. One of the reasons she was worried about Bender not being here
is Missy's afraid that we're going to dive too deep into comic books and she's just going to get lost.
That's okay. You guys could do it. Just go
and nerd out.
Yeah. And she, you know what? And I don't think she's too worried about this, but this literally is the first guest you've interviewed.
Yeah.
She's been on someone else's podcast once before.
Okay.
But it's the first time that on our podcast she's sat in when a guest is here. And we have guests from time to time. We've had, we've had people like we had the owner of the improv shop in St. Louis, Andy Sloy.
Oh, cool.
We've got a guy that does a YouTube channel. He won the St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase for special effects. It's a zombie anthology series named Mike. He comes on every Halloween.
Nice.
We've had a handful of guests, but this is the first one she's brought in. But it's also the first one you quote unquote booked. So
this is probably going to be the best one too.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, you're gonna.
No pressure, Stan.
No. This is the first time I've ever been interviewed, so I really have no. This is kind
of
cool.
Well, it's the call it an interview is probably the most overselling of what's going to happen here. The fact that, and I went and checked your Facebook page out. Back when she first mentioned you, I looked at it. And then just before you got here today, because I wanted to write some things down, so I went and looked at it. And I thought, well, shit, I don't have to write anything down because
this guy's a moron.
If that's what it is, then both morons we both be. So okay. Because you can see those are my hardcovers back there, and that's all I've whittled it down to because I've moved so much over the years. That's just all I'm allowing myself to carry. But now that we have a house that we're never leaving, that'll grow more. So,
right.
And there's some in the other rooms upstairs, because if I ever have a hankering to read some of my favorites, I keep them upstairs.
I got you.
Things. So, that said, let's jump right in. Let's introduce people and tell them a little bit about you before we go. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Bachelor Number One. I enjoy long walks on the beach and comic books.
We should have put Missy behind the curtain.
That is true. I wonder which one she would choose. I think we know, though.
You, because she's been with me for 10 years. She's done with it.
My name's Stan. I've grew up in North County with a brief stint in Texas, briefer stint in Springfield.
Springfield Mo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was very brief as well, about a month. They couldn't handle me there, so they sent me back.
I was the same way. I lived there for 7 years. They gave me a little better chance.
That's good. I came back here. I've been in North County ever since. Nerd, all around nerd. I hit my nerd puberty late. Growing up, it was all, like, I see the Superman hanging up there. Everything was Superman. I went to a Catholic school. I had a Superman t-shirt and cape that I fought with my mother with every day to wear underneath.
Didn't fit the Catholic attire if it showed up.
No, I tried to wear it underneath, and my excuse was my mom would say, you can't wear it. And I go, but Mom, what if something happens and they need me? I have to be ready. Bottom line, Mom was like, kryptonite, that didn't fly.
Selling it as Clark Kent, like, you know, having your shirt underneath the button-up shirt,
that's
didn't
what
fly?
I was,
yeah.
That's what I wanted to do. And it was worse because it was like a teal blue pullover.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I had, you know, that on, the cape's hanging out, the strings are choking me, and, you know, I'm like, I'm fine, Mom. And
1 year, my mom made me a cape. This was way long ago. I think my mom and dad were still married at the time, so I probably was like 5.
Right.
But I had this cape till I was at least 10. But she made a cape, and it was great. It was big red cape. It had a nice drawstrings that I could tuck and hide. The problem was she put a yellow S on the back. Mm-hmm. Instead of the symbol, and oh no, that's what she did. She put a yellow. She put the yellow seal, the shield, with a red S inside, and I've lost my mind on it because on this cape, it's a yellow S inside a yellow S. It's
right.
Just the yellow. And she was like, "Well, you couldn't have seen it," but I got over it, but I was very upset for a long time that it was not at the time comic or authentic quality.
Right. It was not accurate. It was not screen accurate.
So you said you were late in embracing your inner geek, but you started as a Superman fan. Now, was that because of Super Friends and Christopher Reeves F-Series?
Yes.
But no comics at the time, or just?
I got into comics probably in, I was in grade school, and I had a buddy, his name was Neil, and he lived with his dad, and I'd never been to the comic book store, but I go over to his house because, like, we had G.I. Joes, and G.I. Joes were life, man. And we played with G.I. Joes, you know, constantly, and his dad was like, hey, you want to go to the comic book store? And I was like, all right, cool. So we went, and I blew all of my allowance, and I wanted to go over to Neil's every weekend because we could go to the comic store, even though I had no money, so I'd have to beg for money.
Now, I'm not trying to date you here, but I'm going to assume that all your allowance, that was back when I was a kid too, so $5 could literally get you like 10 comic books. Like,
yes.
The 50-cent price tag, even 75 cents in some cases.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
It was fantastic. It was absolutely amazing.
10 comic books isn't going to last a whole week.
It can. I mean, because you just read them and reread them.
And you analyze every panel.
Okay.
You try
drawing
the panels. It was, I was just thinking about this before you came over because I was writing down questions and I was going to ask you what age you discovered comics. But I know, I mean, my comic, I started reading comics pretty early, but I really started collecting them in high school. And I didn't have a comic store near me. So when I would go visit my mom in Branson, I would go to the one comic shop there. And I was thinking to myself, how did that work for me? Because I literally went to Branson at best once a month, probably spent $25, but it seemed like those comics lasted me for months and months.
I could
go back and read them over and over and over. Now, I couldn't do that now. After I read it once, OCD means I got to have the next part of the story.
I would agree. But I can still go back and read them. I still have the ones from when I was a kid. You know, they're not selling quality or anything like that, but I'll go back and reread the stories, you know, over and over again. And then, you know, now being older, now I want to know what the hell happened after that issue because I didn't have it. But they tend to hold up. And when you're a kid, I mean, your imagination just constantly goes and goes and goes. So you can always reread it, pick it up, reread it.
Well, the nostalgic value on that has to be endless.
It is.
Yeah.
So.
And I reread full stories, like, you know, but like if it were, it would literally drive me insane now if I had like number 4 in a 12 issue run and that was it. As a kid, that didn't bother me.
No, right, exactly.
But as an adult, I'm like, this is the, and I'm not a completist like Bender claims he is, but that would literally needle at me until I found all 12 issues or the trade or whatever. But or thank God for the internet, now you can just go and find them everywhere. So so you said was there a gap? Did you like stop and then revisit it, or did it just stay with you over throughout the years?
The comics stayed with me. I mean, but I was never really, I didn't start like you, I didn't start collecting until I was in high school. I would get them. I mean, if you guys remember when we moved out into the other area of North County, there was a mall and they had Walden Books. I don't know if you remember Walden Books.
Walden Books was one of my first.
And they had the spin rack with the comics, and we would go up every weekend, and I would go and I would grab like stuff I didn't even care about, because I would have, you know, you go there and you'd be like, okay, well, I have this Spider-Man, I have this Superman, I have this Batman. So then there'd be like Hawk and Dove, and I'd be like, Hawk and Dove, all right, fine, you know, I'll take it. So and I would read them and put them back, and the Hawk and Dove ones, or, you know, similar like that, you'd read them, you'd be like, you really didn't care, but it was a comic book, so you were,
I think Walden Books was responsible for a lot in my life. The first comics I got, the first, probably the first Tolkien book I bought, first role-playing game I got. It might have even been, like, not adult magazine, but the first, like, you know, Sports Illustrated swimsuit or something like that. I think Walden Books ushered in a good chunk of change in my life. And, man, I don't even know when they went away.
No, they just kind of went out with a whisper.
Yeah.
I mean, they were there, and then
Barnes & Nobles popped up in their place and stuff like that. But Walden was the mall bookstore, which is what was so great about it. Boy, I miss Walden Books.
I do, too. There was another one, too, and I can't think of the name of it. It was at the same mall. There was Walden Books, and there was,
I can't remember either.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember Walden and Cape Girardeau. So I grew up in Southeast Missouri, and we'd drive up to Cape, was the city close to us, and that's where I would get my Walden book fix and stuff. But no, I remember... if you remember, I can't even think of it. Was it Mirage Comics with a big M? And they had like Megalith, and they had all these, gosh darn it, I can't. No, it wasn't Mirage. I can't even remember the name of it. But it was, to me, was like amazing because these weren't Marvel and DC comics. This was something else. This was a world that I'd never heard of. Death Watch was their big comic event. I can't think of the name. But it was like, and they weren't adult or anything like that. They weren't like overly graphic in their blood or anything, but to me they seemed more risky because they weren't, it wasn't your typical Superman spandex kind of heroes and stuff like that. So I loved it. That was, that's, And so anyway, so but so back to you. So the comic stayed with you in high school,
right?
And what point did that become doing the cosplay and stuff like that now?
Oh, that well,
big jump. Or
did, oh, that was yeah, that was huge, huge jump. I always thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I started going to conventions, just like you and.
I go sometimes.
Okay. we usually get 1 4-hour day out of her about a year of committing to comic books and that stuff.
My wife is the same way, so I understand. She's like, "Yeah, this is cool.
Let's go get lunch.
Yep.
Go
home." Yeah. But I would go to like the older conventions, like back in the 90s, and they didn't really have anybody dressed up at all. But you know, when people were dressed up, that was really you really had to appreciate that because it wasn't like now where you could go to a website and order whatever it is that you wanted. I mean, these people sat and they made, you know, stuff out of paper mache or, you know, they actually knew how to sew, you know. But you didn't see, you saw maybe one costume the whole con. It was basically just a bunch of nerds going from bin to bin. I mean, it looked like Gollum looking for the ring, you know.
Oh, that was it.
Flipping,
yeah.
flipping through, trying to find the book.
Statues and sit back issues. That was it.
Yep.
Like at conventions when they first came out. And that was, I the first convention of anything I went to was in Springfield, Missouri called VisionCon. And it was actually a role-playing game convention that just happened to have a couple of, like, comic book booths.
Right.
And I would have been a freshman in high school. But then shortly after that, we found out about Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City. And so I've only in the last, since probably 97, 98, I maybe have missed it 3 times. And I've seen that show grow from being kind of a smaller, nobody cosplay. And when I can't even remember when I saw the first person dressing up other than being attached to a booth. And then over the years, people started funneling here and there. And now they have, not only is Planet Comic-Con massive, in fact, I think it's our best, until you get to Chicago, I think it's our Midwest best convention. They also have their own separate cosplay convention that sprang up, I think, last year, and they were coinciding, and that was a big problem. So they've moved, but yeah, it grew. So
right.
When you, like you said, you started at conventions,
right?
Didn't see it a lot,
no. And then I stopped collecting comics just due to budgetary reasons after high school.
Like all of us, we had
right.
we finally found out what paying bills was.
Right, exactly. Still hate it.
Who does?
Exactly. And the only thing I was into was like comic books and Star Wars. Comic books and Star Wars. There was no other fandoms. There was no anything else. And then I started playing MMOs. The video game was called EverQuest. And I met friends who are still to this day some of my closest friends. You know, I game with them. I talk to them all the time. They're absolutely wonderful people.
And EverQuest was... I mean, people talk. I mean, obviously now World of Warcraft, League of Legends, and Fortnite's pretty popular right now. But EverQuest was massive when it first, because it was like one of the only couple that was going. Phantasy Star was going in around the same time.
Yeah, and then after that, shortly after, was Dark Ages of Camelot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But EverQuest, people were when. And it's amazing how long it took after EverQuest, but EverQuest people found they can also make a living.
Oh, yes.
Having stores and stuff in the game, but it still didn't even get monetized that bad till after.
Right.
But that was a massive thing. And like you said, that was a good place to connect with people.
Yes. And they had, one of my friends had invited me up and I went to visit him, which was, there was a whole to-do with that because I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to Atlanta to visit this guy. And she's like, well, who is he? And I said, his name's Ben. And I game with him every night. I mean, every night, seven nights a week, I would game with him. And my wife called him, like, my second wife. But we still never met him, didn't know him from Adam. And she was like, oh, no, you're not, because he's going to cut you into little pieces.
That's what I would have said. And I feel like her and I are the same person.
There's a little bit of validity to that fear, but yeah.
So I go down there, and I meet him, and he was like, you know, and everything was cool. He was a good guy. Obviously, I didn't get cut up. And he had said, hey, it was a shame that you weren't here coming down next week because there's something called Dragon Con. And I said, well, what the hell is Dragon Con? And he was like, oh, well, it's kind of everything. It's any fandom that you can think of. And it's sci-fi. It's fantasy. It's superheroes. It's just everything. And I was like, huh. That sounds like a bunch of nerds. I ain't going to that. And like 2 years later, they talk me into it. They're like, come on down to Dragon Con. So I go to Dragon Con, and it blew my mind. I've never out of, and I haven't been to a lot of conventions other than the ones here in the area.
What's a frame of reference? Would this have been around 99, 2000?
This would have been, let's see, 2002.
Yeah, that area. Because when the internet was first capable of playing, supporting online right. gaming. So, yeah.
And I went down there, and this thing is massive. I don't know if you guys have been to Dragon Con.
I've never been, but Dragon Con, PAX, Gen Con, those mm-hmm. are, I've been to San Diego before. Mm-hmm. I've been to Wizard World when it was big. I've right. never made it to one of the big boys of gaming.
Oh, it's insane. They shut down Atlanta. Atlanta yeah. is done. They take up Dragon Con host hotels. They, I think up to now, when I went, they had 4 host hotels. And it wasn't like, you know, the Motel 8. I mean, this was like the Marriott.
Everything in walking distance, yes. essentially, yeah.
And they would have panels at each one. So you had maps. This was before, like, the smartphones were big. You had a paper program, and you had a map. And this was, you know, if you were into Tolkien, you know, they're like, Elvish Riding is at the Marriott at 4 yeah. o'clock in room AC. And then you're like, okay. And then you're like, okay, well, at 7 o'clock, the Superman... The history of Krypton is going to be at the Hyatt in room 4B.
So you were trekking all over.
Oh, you were. It was the only time of the year all the nerds got their workout because you were hauling a-hole across here to there.
Ambulances on every corner just in case.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oxygen.
And the gaming rooms. But I could go on forever about Dragon Con. But when I went there, it was amazing, the costumes. I've never seen costumes like this, I mean, to this day. I've never seen anything like it. These people, they work all year. Things with robotic wings that come out, they flap, they come back in. It looks like...
Ahead of the game then, essentially. Oh, I mean, yes. They were
just game... And then at that time, I mean, which you were like, you can't get better than this. And nowadays, it's even more so with LED lighting and 3D printing yeah. and stuff like that. But after I saw that, I was like, huh... Well, I want to do that, but I have absolutely no skills whatsoever, so I can't make any of that. And I went back, and then I would just put together for the next time that I went, because I was pretty much hooked mm-hmm. at that point. My wife, God love her, you know, would allow me. That was like my little sabbatical. She'd be like, you go and you nerd out for 4 days, and then you come back, you know. And
to be the normal Stan.
Right.
That's what Jeremy does every year in Kansas City. I don't let him. He goes and right. then comes back, and I don't have to deal
That's
with it.
That's my biggest fix is Kansas City.
Yeah. I get you. I would love to see that sometime. I want to try this year going to Metropolis for the Superman celebration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get into Superman with you, too.
Okay, sorry. But, yeah, I saw that, and then so I started putting together, like, just little things that I could do. I love Men in Black. Men in Black, as soon as that movie came out,
I could tell by the license plate.
Yes. Yes.
I said that's got to be him because I know that's one of the things that he dresses up as.
Yes. I think that was the first thing I dressed up as.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all I needed was I had a suit.
And some Ray-Bans.
Exactly.
That was it. And I'm going to give you, when I worked for the Evil Empire, that is Walmart, when that movie came out. And, you know, we got our employee discount, worked even in the Vision Center. And I loved those Ray-Bans so much. So from the first movie came out, that was like the first pair of expensive glasses I'd ever bought myself. Yep. I bought the Men in Black Ray-Bans. Oh, yeah. So I had them. I was halfway there.
Yeah.
I didn't have a black on black, or, you know, a flat black suit at the time, but I wish I would have.
Yes. I had that I still have that same suit, which is way dated.
Let me ask you, if that was your first dress-up, was it a noisy cricket in the inside pocket? Was that what you...
No, but I had found, I think at the time, McDonald's was handing out like these really horrible neuralizers. They didn't make noise. They didn't do anything. It was just this, you know, crappy piece of plastic that came in a Happy Meal. So I had that.
Right.
So I would take that with me, you know, and I had that in my pocket. So, you know, they'd be like, oh, hey, one of the Blues Brothers. And I'm like, no, I'm not one of the Blues Brothers. You know, I have this thing, you know, and I...
Still a pretty good costume to pull off,
still,
though. I mean,
yes.
You could... harmonica in one lapel and the noisy cricket in the other. That's so you're gold. That way you save the argument. They're like, oh, Blues Brother, right, here's my, you know, you got me.
Yeah.
You know, just sometimes shutting them up is just agreeing with them.
It
the best
is.
Way.
It's true. And then, like, further down with the Men in Black thing, for a while, I mean, it's recent that I have hair because I shaved my head, like, yourself, excellent hairstyle,
yeah,
damn good haircut. But I would wear the black suit, so I would get all the time and be like, "Oh, Lex Luthor," and I was like, "No." And
they'd also be like, a good costume.
It is, but like after a while, I just started rolling with it because then, like, I was like, "Hey, Hitman," and I'm like, "Yes,
yeah,
yes, I am." Never played the Hitman in my life. I know the guy's bald, but other than that, I know nothing.
That would be Timothy Olyphant in the first one. So you enjoyed him.
I do enjoy him.
She likes Timothy Olyphant
and everything.
Okay. So, yeah, I started with that, and then,
just, do you, now, Dragon Con, you loved it, you were hooked on it. Did you go back, like, every year or every other year? Or?
I went, for a while, I was going every year, mm-hmm. and then...
That's a financial commitment, too.
It is.
Going to Atlanta, I mean, there's no cheap way of doing it.
No.
Unless you have a friend that lives close.
Right, and I do have friends, but, like, my father had a saying... that has stuck with me to this day when I do certain things like going on vacation
right.
or taking a trip like that. And the saying was, if you can't lead the parade, don't march. So when I go to Atlanta,
right.
I have to stay in a host hotel room.
I'm the
you
same
know,
way.
You know, I can't be on the outskirts. I need to be in the middle of everything. You know, if anything is happening during Dragon Con, which is ridiculous because now I think it's up to 8 hotel rooms, but if anything is going on, I need to know about it. I need to be in the thick of what is going on.
I've got friends. I'm sure you know what it is, the 501st Legion.
Oh, I know the 501st.
Yeah, so I've got some friends in Springfield, Missouri that are part of it, and we always kind of meet up a little bit up in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And every year I say, what are you guys doing tonight? Oh, we're just going to go back to my parents' house where we're staying, which is... just over the Kansas line. I'm like, that. How do you do that?
Right.
How do you not come? If you're going to commit,
that's right.
You 100% commit.
Oh, you're in, maybe.
Yeah.
You are all in.
For us, it's been better too because, for instance, Missy, to give you a frame of reference, we'll like having dinner one night near the hotel. The Dr. Donna from Doctor Who, she was at a table next to us. We've had members of Firefly sit close to us and stuff.
Nice.
I mean, and it's not like we. Go up and party or talk to these people, but it's cool seeing them.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to get that if you're going and staying outside of town or somewhere else. You don't go to Mardi Gras to stay outside of New Orleans. You go
exactly.
to be a part of it.
Exactly.
Your dad put it best in
yes.
that analogy.
Yeah. That has stuck with our family for a very long time. If you can't lead the parade, don't march. But, yeah. With Dragon Con and all that, that's where I found all these other fandoms. They were playing this game. Every time somebody walked by and they had this knit hat on their head, it was like Slug Bug. So someone would hit the other person.
Never heard
that.
And I'm like,
funny.
I go, well, first of all, what the hell is that? You know, and second of all, why are they hitting him? And they said, well, that's Jane.
Yeah, from Firefly.
And I said, well, what's a Firefly? And my buddy was like, we have got a ride for you, buddy.
No doubt.
We have got a ride for you. So later, at the end of the con... I get back from the con. He has shipped me a bootleg
thing of the series.
Yes, of Firefly. So they're telling me about Firefly. And when I was there, I had to ask all kinds of questions. Like I said, I knew about superheroes and I knew about Star Wars. So everything else that's walking around, and if basically at Dragon Con, if you're out of costume, that's abnormal. You know,
that's
blasphemy.
So, it's not blasphemy. That's just more abnormal.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Almost everybody is in costume.
So instead of the 30% people that are usually in conventions that are cosplaying, it's the other way around. It's 30% that's not.
Yes, I think that would be a safe assumption. So anybody's walking around, and there's like anime and there's Star Trek, and I knew like I gathered you know what Star Trek was, but like if I didn't know like the difference between this and Next Gen and Voyager
right.
and Deep Space Nine. Or some of the alien races, and I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. You know,
you knew Star Trek. You didn't have the deep dive knowledge that
right.
a lot of people
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I had basically general knowledge, kind of like I do with football. I understand the point of football, but I don't know anything. Like, you know,
right.
if you're like, oh, well, they did that. I don't know. But yeah, we would play that game. I had my buddy, his name's Mike, and he was my nerd guru. I mean, he still is to this day, because if I have questions, I ask him. And I talk to him, you know, once a week, and I'll come up with all kinds of just different stuff that my brain comes up with. I'm like, so Do you think... there's a good one for you, okay? Do you think that Superman could take out the entire race of Daleks? And we now, what's your opinion, just out of curiosity on it?
It's a tough meld, but no, the Daleks, because I'm so brainwashed to think that they're supposed to be the biggest threat to the universe, to the galaxy, or, well, to reality, in essence, and all time. I think that they'd find a way. But from a DC Comics perspective, I think it's pretty tough for anybody, like whether it's Borg or Daleks or anybody, to hold up to a Superman. So,
right.
But I'm helped by the fact that there was the Christmas special a couple years ago where essentially Superman was...
I loved that episode.
It was a great episode.
That is my favorite Christmas episode
so
of all time.
So the way I look at it, if the Doctor could find a way to stop a Superman, then the Daleks could as well. So
okay.
But it's a good argument.
Yeah.
It's a good argument.
Oh, yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that we sit and talk about. But that was... Oh, that was a big one, too, at the con. Sorry. Because there was a Dalek, and I'm like... What is that?
And is he plunging the bathrooms? Is that
right.
What's going on?
I go, what's the thing with the plunger? And he goes, that's a Dalek. And I go, what the hell is a Dalek?
Yeah.
And he goes, that's from Doctor Who. And I go, oh, that's that wiener show that I saw as a kid. And... Because I hated Doctor Who as a kid. And
I don't think that's a far stretch. I mean, right. If Doctor Who would have solely existed as the pre-Davies,
right,
before he took over or relaunched it, I wouldn't have probably gave it much of a chance. I would have known what it was. But, you know, with Eccleston and then Tennant. And,
right.
I mean, I probably... I was with her when I gave Tennant a chance on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, crap, now I got to go back and watch Eccleston. And then I just watched all the way through. It seemed like a week, but I watched them all that was on. And, yeah, I mean, to hate on Doctor Who is not an insult to Doctor
right.
Who. It was a different show.
Oh, it was. And my last summer, two summers ago, my project was to watch all the classics. So I went through, and I watched them all.
And there's some good shows there too.
There are.
Yeah.
There are some good ones, but there's some great, like in the beginning, you can see like the boom mic, you know, coming into the picture.
You're like, is this a comedy?
Exactly.
Well, and people forget too that when there was a good significant amount of time where it was just made for kids.
Oh yeah.
That's all it was. And it's just even when it was relaunched, it still was supposed to be a kids show. It just turns out that, you know, Davies and Moffat later were writing such complex stories, and then one of my favorite writers of all time, Neil Gaiman, was writing episodes for it. It's like, this is not a kid's show anymore.
No, not exactly. Not totally.
Yeah.
But I like it that even with these complex storylines,
kids can
still watch it. It's not too gory. It's not too adult.
Yeah.
You know, to where that they can't watch it.
I'm with you there. So at what point did you consider yourself someone that cosplays?
I still don't.
You still don't?
not overly. I mean, I do it, but like I...
Well, okay, let me back up.
Okay.
What is a cosplayer for those people that don't know? There'll be, oddly enough, there's going to be some people that listen to it that are like, what the hell is cosplay? So what is a cosplayer?
I believe a cosplayer is you just find a character from whatever fandom that you care about, and you dress as that character. Some people emulate that character's personality when they're dressed as that character, when they're at conventions. Others just, they dress up as the character. And a lot of the geek culture is, not, well, I don't want to say a lot, but some of the geek culture is socially awkward. And they're not used to interacting with people. And that helps them come out of their shell.
By putting on the mask, essentially, it allows them to be as more outgoing than they ever were in their regular life.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Do you fully embrace... like the character when you are in the costume? Because I see pictures of you, and I'm like, man, he is nailing it.
Yeah.
Do you walk around
you
with that personality?
Pose.
Yeah. Do you embrace that whole character?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I do, and a lot of that I do. Well, with one of the characters I do is Deadpool. And Deadpool is great because you can do anything.
He's the most unique because literally you can take Deadpool and do and put on a dookie chain, so to speak, and be hip-hop Deadpool. You can be Deadpool and put on a cowboy hat and six guns. And Deadpool's the most, without changing even the color pattern if you don't want to, you could be so many different Deadpool. You can even have a whole room full of Deadpools and it would still fit comic books.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does. And the great thing about Deadpool is... You can do anything. You can be goofy. Like Batman. Batman's a great example. Batman's very dark and he's very brooding. And you got to be serious all the time.
If you trip and fall at a convention as Batman, you're going to get laughed at. But if you trip and fall at Deadpool, mm-hmm. they're going to say, oh man, he is in the character.
Right. And like Batman interacting with children, you know, if you're embracing the character, you can be kind mm-hmm. to the children. But you can't really be goofy.
Yeah.
You know, like. To me, I mean, and I'm sure there are tons of Batman out there that, you know, especially when they're around kids and they're goofy and they should be.
But if you're in the character, like you said, you're Batman.
Right. It's a bit more difficult. Deadpool, like at one of the Wizard Worlds, I dressed as the Doctor one day. Just as a social experiment.
That was going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. If you go multiple days in a row, do you mix it up?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I went as one day as the Doctor. And just for grins, they had, I can't remember what they were playing. They play music at Wizard World. I tried to get a conga line going, and everybody looked at me like I was an idiot. A complete and total idiot. The next day, I dressed as Deadpool. I had a conga line that went all the way around.
So you're also an amateur psychologist or sociologist working on experiments at these conventions.
It's just weird crap that goes through my brain that I wanted to,
that's
to see.
Awesome.
Just to see if it would work. But yeah, Deadpool is by far the most fun. And with Deadpool, because I'm with a group that the Gateway Super Friends that does a lot of charity work. And we go to different hospitals and we do other charity events. And they're on Facebook. You guys are welcome to.
We definitely will. Well, and I'll link everything we talk about. Okay. I always link it to the sites and stuff too.
Fantastic. But going to see them, I bring Deadpool down because Deadpool can be more of an adult character, so I make it more kid friendly, you know, because you can't go in there and just start swearing at children. That doesn't work.
My favorite accessory when you do that is the little backpack, the little kid backpack that you put on.
Hello Kitty backpack.
yeah.
And you know what? It's funny that you know you say adult character too, because you know I think something like that's lost on a little bit of people too, because Deadpool and I've been a Deadpool fan. Well, I've been a Deadpool fan since Jeff Loeb wrote him in, Ed McGuinness drew him in comics, that series. And that's because when Deadpool was in the comic books, yeah, he was a mutant mercenary, but it wasn't over the top adult until later. And it wasn't until one series that inspired the movie, which is very adult. But that said, there is, even as adult as it is, the comic is not quite as naughty as the movie is.
No, I would agree.
But so, yes, you're right. It is an adult character, but there's a lot of playing around in the comics that he's had forever. It is one that crosses, like, there is not an adult that is ashamed to go in and see in that Deadpool movie.
No.
Because it is an adult movie. But, or, you know, it's a hard R.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's fun. It's so much fun.
But if you read comics, you know it's safe for your kids to read those comics and a good chunk of them and stuff. I mean, for instance... Just to give a relate, a big story here recently was Captain America last year was bad. He was a bad guy. And I don't want to get into it, but Deadpool was on his side, and everybody was asking him why. And he was such a naive character that he's like, well, when have you ever known Captain America to make the wrong decision?
Right.
That's not a very adult theme. That's a kid theme, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, he very good crossover character, like you said. You can reach a lot of people with that.
Yes, you can. So he's enjoyable to do. And then one of the other characters, Superman, which I've only done once. So
I've seen a lot. You had a lot of pictures of it, though.
I did. That went a lot better than I thought it was going to do.
Now, which Superman would you classify that as?
I would say that one would probably be more from Man of Steel. The suit's more of a Man of Steel suit. And that one, I went with that suit because the guy who... he makes these suits. His name is Robin Johnson Jr. He's a bodybuilder. I mean, dude's awesome.
He's have a website also where he does?
I know that he's on Facebook. I don't even I don't know him that well, so I don't know if he wants me like blurting it out. But well, I'll bring him business.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But he makes these suits, and his suits are really, really good quality. Well, there are different sites that you can, when people are finished with their cosplays, or if they have a small flaw in them or something, that they will sell them, or if they just run out of room in their quote unquote cosplay wardrobe, they'll sell them for a cheaper price. So I saw it at a good price and I jumped on it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was how I got the suit.
And you definitely don't need to tell us what the price is, but that's another thing too. That was a question I was going to ask you too, because there is a bit of a, I don't say a huge bitter battle, but there is a battle among some diehard cosplayers, which is build your own or purchase or commission. And there's a very different thing in purchasing commission. For instance, anybody can go out and buy a Halloween costume and just claim that they're a cosplayer. Or there's guys like that where you commission your costume,
right,
and they make movie quality or what you would consider authentic comic book or video game quality or anime or whatever it is you're into. And then there's a good set of people, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I find these are more of the diehard anime cosplayers that feel like you got to make your own. You got to make your own weapons. You got to make your own stuff. And I don't know that there's any real like snobbery going on back and forth, but I've seen people, I've heard the cattiness from time to time. Well, he's someone else made that for him,
right,
you know. But where do you weigh in on that?
For me, first of all, I think it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going to have a term like, you know, I'm a cosplayer, we're all people, so it doesn't make you, I'm not better than you in any way. If you have the budget to where you go to Party City and you purchase a costume there and you want to be Batman, then damn it, go and get your suit and be Batman. There's no shame in that. Do what you want. Now,
Spirit is having fun, then have fun. We've said this before. Just don't shit in other people's Cheerios.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's it.
That everybody just listen to the doctor. Be kind. That's all you have to do is be kind to one another. I understand where people get they get catty during contests. You know, if you go and you enter a contest and you spend, you know, we'll say $500 on a suit, okay, and you win the contest, you know, but so-and-so made all their stuff from scratch.
I could see some.
I can understand that, but to me, if that's the case, then have a subcategory of just people that built their own shit
for
the category.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's total. Now, I would say this, after looking at your Superman one pictures and stuff, and I'm not, this is, here's a guy that's gray is starting to overtake his beard. You're pretty close to being able to pull off the Kingdom Come Superman pretty solid.
Thank you. Yeah. That's one of my favorite. I love, absolutely love Alex Ross. And when you were talking earlier about like the different books, I recently at a fantasy shop, they had their garage sale or yard sale, and they had a guy up there, and he was selling this like trades, and one of it was Justice, which was by Alex Ross, and I was like, oh God, I want this. So I got it, and I'm reading, I'm like all excited because it's Alex Ross, and I just love his work. And I get to the end, and it's only part one,
right?
And I was like, are you kidding me? So I didn't get to see the rest of it. But yeah, eventually I wouldn't mind doing Kingdom Come Superman at all, because I thought that was just an amazing story.
So Kingdom Come Superman is a Superman that retired, essentially, and did not want to come back. He's forced to come back. But the glaring difference in his uniform is that it's a black and red S, which signified that he was upset by Kansas exploding and being wiped off the planet. And that was his, he was definitely a more dark brooding Superman than the normal one. But it's a very iconic one. It's one that they've revisited in the comics a handful of times, but it would be, you know, once you get over 40, that's the Superman that's easily to pull off Superman right there. Now I will say this. I know you said you don't ever label yourself a cosplayer, but let's go back to what you mentioned, your Gateway Super Friends.
Yeah, I want to know how you got into that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I went to a Wizard World, and I was checking out all the tables. It may have been the first one, maybe the second one.
Here in St. Louis?
Here in St. Louis, yes.
Yeah, it's very new to St. Louis still.
And I had passed his table, and it was the Gateway Super Friends, and I'm like looking. They have pictures up of all these different events, and they're like posing with children, and there's things from all over. And I'm like, well, what's this about? And they said, well, we're a group of cosplayers that do this for charity, and we go and we help kids, and we try to raise money for different events. And I thought, you know, I thought, well, this from going to church, they had said, you know, if you know, God will talk to you and tell you your calling.
Right.
And when I saw that, I was like, I really think that this is, I mean, like something just like lit up, and I went running over, and I was like, I want to join. And they were like, cool. Do you have a suit? And I was like, no. I thought you guys like supplied that. Oh. And they were, you know, I thought they just needed, you know, warm bodies to go and do this. I'm like, oh, no. That's not how it works. You have to have your own suit. And I said, okay, that's fine. And that was it. I left. So the following year, the Deadpool movie came out. And I saw that.
So this was, not super recent, but in the grand scheme of things, this is a few years into it.
Yeah. I mean, with it being this serious, like I said, the other stuff that I had done, it was all stuff that I had around the house.
Hobby. Like, just a hobby.
Just a hobby. And so the Deadpool movie came out, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, this is, this needs to happen.
Have they nailed a costume better than that movie in any superhero movie so far?
The only one that comes to mind for me is, and it's nostalgia, I love the 1989 Batman film.
The first one.
Yes.
The Tim Burton Batman.
Yes, that will always be.
He just couldn't turn his head, and that bothered me.
No. I have the cowl at my house. I'm building a 1989 Batman suit. But
no, you're fine.
Okay.
Fine, that's okay. I mean, we make all, heck, Bender spills things and all the time, so it clapping out of excitement, that's the least of our problems for sound.
But yeah, that one I thought was spot on. But then after that, the Deadpool one was just, and the Deadpool gets a little bit more with it because the whole with the moving of the eyes, I thought that sold the whole thing. Was the, you know, what his different expressions when he would talk, the eyes would adjust, and I thought that was amazing. But after that, I went out and I had to, thank God Google was around, and I asked Google, and I'm like, where can I get a Deadpool suit?
Yeah.
And Google was like, well, you can go here. And I was like, okay. So I went there and I ordered it. So up until that point, I haven't gone anywhere with it, but I have the suit and I'm waiting. So I want to like wow these people. So I am watching over and over again. I watch the movie over and over again. I want to sound like Ryan Reynolds. I want to be able to...
Mannerisms.
I want to be able to mimic this. So... the day comes and I come walking over and I'm like so proud of myself because I've been, you know, I got the suit is, it's spot on, you know, it's spandex. So I've been like really, you know, serious about the diet. You know, we can't overdo the carb thing because spandex is not
kind.
No,
not kind to anybody.
You'll be couch potato Deadpool.
right. Like, more like Dadpool.
Yeah. But, that's it.
But no. So I go over and I've got it and I get over to the table and I'm like, hi, I'm here to join your boy band.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, that's pretty witty. That's pretty good.
That does sound witty, yeah.
And they were like...
But you have to be careful with the geek culture. Sometimes they'll be insulted by things. Yeah. You got to watch them.
So they're looking at me, and I thought, you know, that would be a good showstopper. And they're like, okay, well, you have to give us your full legal name, and you see your ID, and they're like, take your mask off. And I'm like, what do you mean take my mask off? And they're like, take your mask off. So, okay, I do it. And so they had to run...
Which is great.
Yes.
Great that they would have to do that.
Oh, yeah. And they ran a background check on me. So they do a criminal background check to make sure that, okay, yes, you know, we can take you out. And I was like a dog with a bone because I had like every other day, I'm like, did you run it? 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 And I think...
And they're sitting there going, this guy's going to be a handful.
Right. So I think like the founder, her name's Chrissy... She at the time she had to have been like, God, we just need to shut this guy up. So yes, we ran it. So they give me an event, and there's a whole, you know, there's a couple other guys there, you know, doing it, and one of them, it was their first event as well, and we just were winging it from there. And after that, that was it. I was hooked. I mean, any time something would come up, you know, even now, unless it's cold, I don't do cold. I'm like, they're like, hey, we need somebody. I'm like, okay, I'm there. You know, we need somebody. Okay, I'm there. The only stipulations that I have is, you know, if it's during the week, it's not easy for me to do.
Right. Well, I gotta imagine there's a significant amount of weekend time anyway, right? Right.
And I don't do cold.
That's your true stimulation. Those aren't. It's not a hard guy to work with. That's That's not a diva.
No.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And I can do cold if it's an indoor event.
So what all do you guys do with them, with Gateway Super Friends?
We just try to help. Try to make the world a happier place, I guess.
Do you interact with children?
Oh, yes.
So you're I mean, and these are these sick children? Or
sometimes.
See, that's amazing.
Like because
you're
hospitals?
Just, for for like a brief moment in time, that child forgets all their problems when they're interacting with you, and that's amazing.
And that's the point, you know, of that's what we try to do. And we also, when we go to these, not necessarily the hospitals, but we've also done events where we try to raise money for, you know, other children. Like if the, we've had, I'm not going to give names, but we've had children where we run fundraisers for them because something's happened to their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, if they themselves have some kind of illness, you know, and they need more money for treatment or, you know, or Christmas or something like that, we do, you know, just try to help.
It's not too far off of what the 501 does.
Yes.
I mean, it's another organization, except they are very specific. They are stormtroopers and variations of stormtroopers. And the Geekaholics, all of those guys are in the 501. You know, and that's even grown over the years to encompass all kinds of other different Star Wars characters, too. But that, I mean, that is a nationwide, you know, no, worldwide foundation at this point. So, and you know, and it is good. It is good. But what I was going to say when you started talking about that, too, when you may not label yourself a cosplayer, but I think for all the right reasons, you can call yourself that, especially when you start joining a group that goes out and does make a difference. That's cosplay. I mean, there are professional cosplayers out there in the world,
right?
Which, thanks to social sites like Instagram and stuff, there's a lot of money to be made for some. Now, you know, now that being said, it's mostly women that are making the money doing that.
Oh, yes.
But just truly what is fun and what can be constructive about cosplay is that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that's cosplay. I mean, you nailed it for all the right reasons.
Well, thank you.
Which is awesome. What other hobbies do you have? You were talking earlier about your Twitch.
Oh. Well, it's not my
Twitch. Not yours,
it's
but...
It's my buddy's Twitch. We, on a... Wednesday nights, we get on there and we just talk. I mean, just pulling things out your ass.
Right.
I mean, usually the
that's all we've got 125 episodes of pulling things out of our ass so far.
Usually it ends up going back to Tide Pods and the problem with that generation. that's recently where it goes. It's usually about Tide Pods. But, yeah, we do that. I do online gaming. I like to play Lord of the Rings online, Star Trek online. Star Wars Online.
With the new one, Battlefront 2, do you play?
No, this is Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, okay, the good one. I mean, that was where the Battlefront 2, there's a lot of... You could do a whole podcast about hating on what they did on that with microtransactions and whatnot, but the whole world hates that. So.
A lot of the MMOs now, like even the ones I'm talking about, they're free-to-play MMOs, but they have a store to make your... life easier.
I've got a kid over there playing Switch right now, or at least about to turn it off, that is pestering me to get Fortnite for, because she watches all of the YouTube, like Dan TDM and all the guys that play these things all the time, and she really wants to get into it. But so you guys do that Wednesday night, and for essentially that's like your podcast.
It is, and then Thursday nights we had Roll 20. I don't know if you're familiar with Roll 20.
I know what Roll 20 is.
Okay.
Yeah. Back over your left shoulder is all my role-playing games.
Okay.
So
it's Thursday night is D&D night. So
we
play D&D. I get really lucky. I mean, I don't want to say lucky because lucky makes it sound horrible, but I work days, my wife works nights. So I have like every day I have like 4 hours of nerd time to where I can just nerd out.
Every nerd is jealous of you right now.
Yes. Yes. And then she comes home and then I get out of my TARDIS, and I come back upstairs.
Now, what edition do you guys play of Dungeons & Dragons?
D&D, we're playing the
fifth, the current.
Currently the playing the fifth, which I am not overly familiar with D&D. Like, I grew up, when I played role-playing games, I played, like, Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, White Wolf system, the old White Wolf system.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the new White Wolf system. Sometimes we played the West End Games Star Wars.
No, man, for me it was West End Games DC's where I started, cut my teeth. Well, Dungeons and Dragons where I started, but the West End had DC. Or no, that was Mayfair Games at DC. What did West End? They had something else.
I'm Not sure. I know. Yeah. Who did the Marvel Universe?
It might have been West End. It might have been. And then Palladium became the big one with riffs and things okay. like that when I was a kid. But my heart always stuck with D&D. I've never told her this, but once in a while, my buddy
this might be a deal breaker.
This could be.
My buddy Dwayne, who's one of my best friends in the world, he come up and every once in a while, if we can make it work, like this literally works once a year. We'll do it to where the women can go out, we'll watch the kids, and we'll break it out.
Oh, is that what you guys do all our time?
And we play, just right. he and I. Now, it's a game that works better with a group, but we make it work, and I'm always the DM for him. But I've not told her, but since 5th edition came out, I've been sitting here trying to figure out a way to get at least... I could never do every week, because I coach all my daughter's sports.
Right.
But I want to get a game, one a month.
That's doable. I think you should. I honestly
love it. And you know what? It's with the world we're in now, and it's not just thanks to the internet, because the internet's been around for a while too, and it is certainly easier to find your tribe thanks to the internet. But with guys like Joe Manganiello and Vin Diesel and all these guys, and even Will Wheaton to an extent on his tabletop, it's getting a little more fashionable to be into D&D now.
It is.
Our Schlafly and... Forehands, I think they have D&D nights every once in a while, wow, where people come up, yeah, and play. We now have puzzles, our pieces, downtown St. Louis, which is...
Yeah, and two Plumbers.
And Two Plumbers has a D&D night, yep, now, so, yeah, I mean, it's getting to be more acceptable. The problem is, first off, I have to find some people to commit, and I want people... I know this is going to sound at most snotty, but I want people to kind of make sense and fit what I want.
Right.
I would love to get some guys that I know would never play D&D to just give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
But I also owned a comic book store. I know some guys that I could get to do it right away, but I just don't want them coming over once in a month. But they'd be great at it.
Right.
So, yeah, right. But yeah, that's some good hobbies that I'm a little bit jealous that you find some time. Why don't you work nights? I'm just kidding.
I'm not doing that.
No, it works out well. And my wife and I... God love her. I mean, she is great because I will, whatever it is I'm doing, you know, she's not part of this culture. This is not her thing. She loves me to death and she tolerates it, you know, but you know, we have this thing between the two of us where I'll come upstairs and I'll tell her, hey, we just finished this raid and I got this sword. and she's just looking at me and I'm like, pretend you care.
Yeah.
And so she'll be like, she'll be like, oh, okay. And so she'll pretend, you know, that she cares and she listens. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And then, like, you know, she'll do the same thing. She'll come back from Kohl's.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, I found these shoes. Look at these shoes. And I'll look at her and she'll be like, pretend you can. I'm like, I love those shoes.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
I can't get her to suspend her desire in a little bit. She's like, you know, I don't care about that. Like, I can get her to go see a movie from time to time. We went and saw the second Avenger. She's just recently went and saw Black Panther with me. I can't get her to watch Justice League at home, but she it's just like, you know, you just get that out of your system. Don't even bring it back to me.
Right.
But it's okay. It's okay. She never tells me no.
Right. No. You know,
so
no.
That's good.
And that's a lot of things. I mean, that's a big thing with the cosplaying, with just any of like the nerd hobbies, you know, just as long as whoever you're with is receptive to it, yeah, to where they're just like, hey, it's your thing, cool, you know, but they don't shun you for it, you know, they're not like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Why do you do that to him.
Oh, okay. Man. Yeah, but that's out of love, I tell myself. Is there anything upcoming for that you're looking forward to here in the near future, or between Gateway Superheroes or just conventions or anything coming up anytime soon?
Well, it's the Gateway Super Friends.
Super Friends, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. A lot of people like
it. I get it. The Super Friends. That's my wheelhouse. But
offhand, I'd have to look at the schedule. Oh, I have a next, which is not a Gateway Super Friends event, but next Sunday, Saga Toys.
Oh, I love that shop. I just...
Yes.
Found it out of nowhere. Sorry to interrupt, but it out of nowhere when I was, thanks to some work, down by it. I went in and liked it. I asked the guy if he'd ever want to come on the podcast, and he said, you know, people have always asked me, but no one ever follows through. So I followed through and reached out, and he just never reached back. But I love the way he does his Nerf guns and all that. I mean, it's a good shop.
Oh, it is. It is a good shop. They are having a pancake breakfast with Deadpool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I will be...
Deadpool loves pancakes.
Deadpool does love pancakes. So I will be there with pink bunny ears on.
That's awesome.
Yes. So that's going on. As far as like cons are coming up, I would love to go. I believe this is the 40th anniversary of the Superman celebration in Metropolis.
Oh, yeah. That's what, and the reason I want, you did get into it, but I know just by looking at your thing that you, Superman's in like one of your favorites, just because I see from the pictures too. And she was just talking that she would like to get them, take the girls down to Metropolis.
Well, we were just driving up to Chicago last week, and I'm like, hey, I want to stop here and see that. Because everyone that drives even remotely close to it always stops, and we've never stopped, and we've driven that way.
Oh, you have to stop. I haven't got to see everything there. Like, I've stopped in twice, and we kind of like walked the streets, but at the time, like, my wallet was not prepared.
So are you going to make it to the 40th?
I would like to. My wallet is still, the wallet and I are still in talks, negotiations.
I get it.
As to how that's going to work. But yeah, I would love to go there. I always want to go to Dragon Con. I can't always guarantee that I'm going to Dragon Con because, again, that is a very, that's almost like an investment. I mean, you've got to really sock some money into it.
I'd love to go to Gen Con, too, one year, and I'd love to do PAX just because one of the main reasons I want to do PAX is because Penny Arcade.
I haven't read them in a while, but I used to love to read Lolbat.
But, yeah, but they have by far my favorite celebrity or podcasted session of D&D with their group called Acquisitions Inc.
Okay.
And they do a live one all the time at PAX, and because they're funny guys.
Right.
And if you've never seen it, I think the Dungeons and Dragons podcast itself had it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they get too busy, but they always bring it back at PAX, and it's always worth doing it.
I would have to check that out.
It's pretty awesome. And I think they've got a collected website. If you just Google Acquisitions Incorporated, a couple of places have stockpiled or, you know, aggregated all of them so you can listen to them. And it's because it's balanced with people that know the game.
Right.
And that have real wit. So it's worth listening to. It's awesome. So I'd like to do that. But again, like you said, between everything the life already has scheduled for us and then, yeah, that's our Lewin studio. We are at a home drinking game also. If you listen to this at home, there's certain rules that if you hear, you take a drink. So if you hear Lou clocking across the floor, you got to take a drink. But there you go. But yeah, so that said, those are going to be the toughest ones to get to because she does give me Kansas City. And, and by all means, if you ever think about it, it's usually, now it's February. It used to be May. Actually, it used to be March, and then it was the same weekend as basketball all the time. And there's the tournaments there. Right. And then they moved it to May, and that kind of was real late. And this year they moved it back to February, so it was February this year.
It was really close to what goes on here.
Wizard World. Yes. In fact, they were two weeks apart. But it is Kansas City. So with the way I explain Comic-Con, Planet Comic-Con, if no one's ever been there, it is, when I say it's the Midwest, it's almost the size of C2E2 in Chicago.
Okay.
And it's much bigger than our Wizard World, especially this past year. Wizard World is very small scale, I thought, this past year. But compared to what it has been in the past.
Yes.
And Planet Comic-Con has, you know, I was going to ask, you know, going to all these shows and seeing all these people, what you thought, how healthy was our St. Louis scene of cosplayers? Because the Kansas City one is off the charts. I mean, Nerdist has came and filmed there, and they sent Chloe Dykstra to host the cosplay segment there. And there's been, you know, what was the show? Sci-Fi had the cosplay show.
Oh, with the one Yaya Han was, she was running it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
And
I can't think of
a girl from Springfield, Missouri, who a bunch of friends of mine are friends with, they found her in Kansas City and put her on there. So it's super healthy. They have their own convention there and stuff. Worth checking out. And Comic-Con is so well done. Chris Jackson's been putting this show on now for the better part of 35 years, and it's so well ran. And that said, I guess I should bring it up. I should always plug it. September, CaveCon, Springfield, Missouri. My very favorite comic book store in the world, and not because I go there a lot, but because it's one of my best friends, the guy who taught me how to sell comics when I had a comic book store. His name's Josh Roberts. He is putting on his first ever CaveCon in Springfield. So they're going to have, you know, they'll have the 501 that's out of that. They'll have a bunch of cosplayers there, healthy anime cosplayers in Springfield. And I'm looking forward to that because here's another guy that I don't know, he's never organized a convention, but he's for the better part of 40 years has been going to some great conventions, so he's going to know what to do. So keep that on your radar for if you guys.
We'll have to do that. Anime St. Louis is coming up.
Oh, where do they hold that at?
That is in St. Charles, May. It's the first weekend in May. And I believe, if I heard right, because I went last year, and I'm not a huge anime fan.
What I like a lot. You know, for instance, podcast taboo.
That's my medicine.
You're allowed.
Okay.
But for for things like Cowboy Bebop, and I liked Vampire Hunter D growing up and stuff, I liked, but it got bigger than I did growing up.
Yes. Yes. But we've gone because the Gateway Super Friends, they have actually worked with the 501st. They have a jail there. So basically the way the jail works is like you two go and you go up to the 501st and you give them $5 and you go, hey, put him in jail. So they put him in jail for 5 minutes, you know, and so he can't leave. I mean, you're on your honor. I mean, they can't they may blast you. But
it's a fun gimmick, so do it.
Right, and the money goes to charity. So then, like, he gets out of jail, and he's like, well, I didn't care for that. So he'll give him $5, and they put you.
That's a fun little way to, get money.
Oh, yeah. So we help them out with that. It's a great cause, and I like to go as Deadpool for that. And I go, and when people are in jail, I get a whole bunch of people to gather around the jail and point and laugh at the people in the jail. And then 5 minutes later, I end up in jail because whoever got out of the jail pays to put Deadpool.
So you're in jail a lot.
I'm in jail a lot.
But that's okay. That's awesome. When I opened my comic book store up here in St. Louis.
What is the comic book store, by the way?
I used to own one called Culture Shock.
Okay.
And we started in Weldon Spring, kind of across from Gold's Gym.
Okay.
And we later moved to next to Total Hockey there, across from Mid Rivers Mall Drive.
Okay. Okay.
And it was great. We just opened in 2007, which was the worst time to open a hobby shop. And we had to move locations, and it took a lot of money because of that. And there's a whole lot of stuff that went into why we failed. But when we opened, our grand opening, we had a couple of St. Louis Cardinals come in and do autographs day.
Very cool.
And that was cool, but nothing brought in but that I got the 501 to show up and do it. And they stood out on the road, and people pulled in. I mean, hitting their brakes on the highway pull in there. And they went over bigger, them and Fred Bird. I could have not had one Cardinal player and just had the 501 and Fred Bird and would have been even busier.
Oh, yeah.
So I would love, and so I would love to see somebody go out in an event where you guys were, because as much as I love Star Wars, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. I'm an even bigger superhero fan.
Yes.
So that's more what I would have loved to have at my shop. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we've done stuff like that. The Fantasy Shop has for free comic book day.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go out there for free comic book day.
Coming up soon.
Yes.
Yeah. In May.
And we go out there and we try to, just help out, get people. I like to mess with people. That's another reason I do Deadpool. When I get done with an event, I'll go home. We have a beagle, which you guys have been on the page. It's mostly my Facebook page. It's pictures of my dog. Their name's Baby. Shout out, Baby. There you are.
She's now famous.
She is. She is. But I'll take her out because I walk her. We don't let her out in the backyard because she escapes. So I'll have the Deadpool suit on. I'll walk her around the block wearing the suit. The cars just stop. What they're doing. There are kids hanging out the window.
That's hilarious.
Just screaming, Deadpool!
Awesome,
and I'll wave. My dog's like,
I just want to walk.
Right. I just I have to poop.
I'm going
to
get in one more question before we start winding up, because we are at an hour, and I got a feeling that one day you can come back and we'll just talk forever.
Sure. I'd love to.
Whether you're young, old, whatever, new or not new to comic books, and you want to get into dressing up, and what do you think what's the best advice you could give someone?
Find something that you love. And first of all, don't be afraid. There's a lot of body shaming. Screw those people. I'd use a more stronger word, but I didn't know if I could.
No, we do. I mean,
fuck those people.
Yes, there you go.
So don't let anybody piss in your Cheerios, piss on your parade. If you got something that you love, then do it. Don't let people body shame you. Don't let the sportos shame you, because a lot of times, and I don't have a problem with people that love sports. I think that's great. But they're essentially cosplaying, too. If you're running around wearing the jersey, the hat, and you paint your face for the character. Exactly. So you're not a character on the field. So you're doing the exact same thing. You have your fandom. You have what you love. So live and let live. You should, so you should definitely do that. Second thing, if you don't have the budget, do what you can. I started out because I happen to have an old black suit. You can go, Goodwill is a wonderful place to get lots of different.
She did her items. Halloween costume this past year, and she was a pretty awesome stewardess.
Yeah, yeah. I spent like $7 total on my costume.
That's right. Yep, I've bought different pieces for different, like Doctor Who. I found the brown suit.
Yeah.
It cost me $5 at Goodwill for the suit, and I was like, dude, that's awesome.
I have never. Well, and real quick, I want to tack on to what you said, too. And if you're worried about the body shaming thing, too, you know, obviously that's the first big hurdle to get over. But don't worry. You're going to find your tribe.
Yes.
You're going to find your gang that you will feel accepted in. And just do it. Start with them.
And the majority of the people that are there, they don't. I've yet to run into anybody that shames at all.
Remember, a good chunk, because of where you're at and what you're doing, there was a good chunk of those people that were there had their own insecurities before they found something to make them confident in life, which was the cosplay or whatever. So
exactly.
Enjoy it. I myself have never, other than, you know, we love Halloween. We always do something. Mm-hmm. I was Rick Grimes 1 year.
I noticed the hat. I was going to ask about it.
I was Rick Grimes 1 year, and my oldest daughter was Maggie.
Okay.
So we couldn't get the family to do zombies, mainly because our youngest daughter never wants to do a group costume. But the one I think now, especially now that the fourth game's coming out, I think I want to be the guy from God of War, because now he looks like a regular person.
Oh, yeah.
With bald and beard. And
oh, I think you should do it, man.
I'm pretty tattooed on the sleeve, but it's okay. He wears all that armor on that one that would fit, you know. But, you know, that would definitely be like a hard to sell to her. I'm not going in public with you like that.
I think
the way that character's evolved with the new one coming out, that I mean, I'm like, wow, I've never been more tailor made because hey, look, when you're a bald guy with a big beard, you're limited as to characters you can pull off. So
it is true. Vikings come to mind, though.
Yeah, always. I've always thought of that. And then I've seen him. I was like, well, now you can be that Viking-style character, but be a known character. And saying, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Viking. Oh, not one in particular? Well, now I can say, what's his name? Kratos?
Kratos.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Kratos. And I have the first three games. I'm terrible at books and video games. I'm terrible with it because I will go and I will buy them.
Right.
And they sit. I mean, like, not just like graphic novels, but books. I've got like four or five shelves like that's sitting in your
yet to read.
And I still go to the half price bookstore, and my wife's like, you haven't read what you have. I know, but this
one
is
day
be
I will. What if right. I get sick next week and right. I get to stay home?
This is my retirement
right
plan.
Right.
So
because one day you're not going to be able to go out and do this stuff, and you're forced to, you two are going to be forced to sit in a room together, and you're going to find out every once in a while we drive each other crazy. Now I'll have those books.
Oh, we know already. We know already. Because it'll be 18 years in May.
Oh, wow.
Well, we always, the segment before we wrap up, we always, we call it throw it to Missy. Because we always call it throw it to Missy because she literally never brings anything to the episode. Okay. So if, back to our drinking game, if we throw it to her and she doesn't have anything, you have to take a drink at home. If she does have something, you have to kill your drink because that's what we,
okay.
She brings a lot to the episode, but she never brings her own segment. So do you have anything to add to this?
I actually have two questions.
Oh, there we go. Kill your drink.
You say your wife isn't in this world, but when she does, like, does she ever go to any of the conventions with you?
She will go usually for Wizard World.
That's what I get her at.
She'll go on Friday. We get her a Friday badge because she's not there the whole day. You know,
right.
She goes. She does like to people watch. I mean, she does. She finds it fascinating.
Me too. I like you know, the people that. The first time I went, I was like, holy cow, what is going on? Why haven't I ever been here? And it's amazing to see the people that buy their costumes, and they're just amazing. And then the amount of effort and whatever they have around the house, because maybe their budget doesn't allow something spectacular, but it's still spectacular.
I mean,
you're putting something together with foil and duct tape.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still a costume. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. But do you ever get her to dress up?
Oh, no. We don't. We don't do that. She, like, recently, it's not cosplaying, but like I said, she's really not into this. All the nerdy stuff that I'm into, but she right now I have another TARDIS hoodie and she wears that, you know, when we go out.
Does she watch that show with you?
She tolerates that show.
Okay.
There are some that she'll kind of watch with me. One of them that's great for her, and she'll swear up and down that she doesn't like it, that she tolerates it. But when I had another quest to watch all of the Star Treks. This was last summer.
That's a big investment there, too.
It was. I started with Enterprise because chronologically.
Oh, so you did it in order.
Oh, yes.
In chronological order. That's a tough one, too.
So I started with Enterprise, and then I went to the original series, then to the movies, and then Next Gen, DS9, Voyager, and then to the new.
Are you watching the new one?
Yes.
I don't want to go too far into it, but have you enjoyed it?
For what it is, yeah.
I haven't gave it a chance yet, and it's not because I haven't given it a chance. It's just I haven't gave that CBS Access or whatever a chance.
You know what Discovery. I mean? I thought you were talking about the reboot of the movies.
Oh, I love the movies.
Okay. Yes, I have seen Discovery. Discovery was decent. I mean, I have some problems, but that's a whole other show.
And let me rephrase this. I liked the first one, the Abrams first one. Mm. The second one was a little iffy. And the third one, though, was more of an action movie, but it was one of my favorite movies of that year.
Okay.
So, especially because I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan, and J.J. Abrams incorporates Beastie Boys in every movie, and that was the best use of him doing that sabotage, so I loved it. Yeah, I love that. What's your other question?
How many characters do you do?
Or have you done?
Okay. I would guesstimate. Like, I have stuff... Again, because I buy stuff when I see it cheap, even like the suits hanging up that I haven't done yet.
Oh, okay.
I've got, and that
keeps it fresh. That's like a new discovery. Like that's one of the. I mean, yeah, I'm sure if Deadpool's entertaining enough, you could keep doing Deadpool.
Right.
But like, you couldn't just do Superman for 30 years, and I mean, that would probably get a little blasé even to
I'd
you.
Be happy if I'm still here in 30 years.
Yeah. But I've seen your Wolverine.
Yeah, I've never done that one. That was. I had it at the house, and I'm like, well, it looks pretty damn cool, so I should do it. So I took a picture of that. I've never done the Thor out in public.
Oh, wow.
Never done that one. If I was to guesstimate how many I've done, I'd say 10, maybe 15. But it's usually Deadpool. Deadpool, the Doctor, one of the Doctors.
Which Doctor do you go?
I've got them all like this. I picked up at Wizard World. This is all these jackets.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
I picked that up this year, and I can actually wear it out normally, which is.
I enjoyed Capaldi more than the internets did.
I enjoyed Capaldi's last season. I thought Capaldi's last season was may have been the best season of new Doctor Who that I've ever seen.
Well, that's a bold statement. I just pissed off a lot of my listeners too, right there.
I did, and I'm a huge Matt Smith fan. Yeah. Matt Smith is my doctor. I mean, Matt Smith will always be my doctor.
Tennant was me because that's where I discovered it, but. I probably welled up a little more on Matt Smith's departure than I did anyone's departure.
I see I would agree with the departure part. The rest of the episode,
not so
much. But yeah, I forgot.
Oh, it was just he was asking how many characters you've done.
I'd say 10, maybe 15. I've done like some video game ones, and I've done stuff where like my buddies will ask me, they're like, hey. Do you want to do this? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. And they're like, you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, look it up. You might even find something you're into. No. Yeah. What else?
That is all I had. I just had those two questions.
Well, so Gateway Super Friends. People can find, do they have a website or is it Facebook page
it's
only?
It's a Facebook page. It is a Facebook
Anywhere else people can find, I mean, do you have like a low aggregate site where you put all your pictures up or is that it? Or
The Gateway Super Friends, their public site, we put pictures up there. I have some photos. I think it's, I have a STL Deadpool. That's a Facebook page. And that's when I kind of record for posterity my adventures as Deadpool.
Well, and if someone wants Deadpool at an event, check you out there?
Possibly. I mean, most of the stuff, the events that I do, I don't get on anybody else. I don't do paid events.
Yeah, right.
I don't like to do paid events. I got into this to do it for charity just to help people.
I have a lot of friends that put on conventions or stores and stuff, so if that's if they're reaching out for an opening or something would be more up your alley than getting paid to do anything.
Right, yeah. I'm not into getting paid for it. I do it for the love of the game.
That's right. See, you like sports way more than you thought. So awesome. We will definitely. I'm going to link every. Like I said, I link everything. I'll even link Saga Toys. I may reach out back to them guys too. So because I've actually Mike Schilling, the guy that does the zombie thing I was telling you about, he has got into customizing. And one of the, other than doing his zombie serialized show. He also does zombies movies and more, where he critiques things. Like every week he critiques Walking Dead on YouTube and stuff.
Nice. I haven't gotten into that yet. I just actually I'm on season 5 because everybody talked about Game of Thrones. So
you're doing good there too.
I've burned through.
There's a wealth of possibility of characters in that.
And I don't think they're all dead. I mean, they don't last.
Hey, you take this how you want, but man, you could pull off a Littlefinger Pitar pretty good.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But it's a good one. It's a good one, though. It's a very iconic guy. He was also in the newest, the Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie. So he was in that. He was a good guy in that. Maybe go that route so you don't feel like a jerk.
Okay.
anything else you want to add before we signed off here?
No. Thank you so much. Just great getting to come out here and talk with you all.
Yeah, I love talking geek stuff. We do geek stuff on our episodes. We don't get too heavy into it all the time. I mean, we get into it, but we don't do too deep into like the comic book things, which I guess one thing I'll add is this week I think Bender and I are getting together. We're going to have another spinoff show I'm going to do once a month called That Year in Comics, and we're going to start with 1986, which I consider the best year in the history of comics. Pretty big year because it was Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, his Daredevil, Watchmen. It was Dark Horse Comics started, which gave us Hellboy. So massive year in comic books.
Right.
So we're going to do that this week. Other than that, I think we've got Aaron coming in a couple weeks after that. Aaron Conaway, a good friend of mine, who just had his book published called Waking the Weaver, a Timberhaven novel. So outside of that, I think we're going to be pretty busy here before too long. So
fit it in before softball.
Yes, so what I'm going to do. Put it in before the girls' softball starts. So, Melissa, any last-minute things before we say bye?
Nada.
All right, say bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to play our music. That's it. Let's do it. All right, here we go.